Matt Bowen.
Are you ready?
Breaking down the X's and O's of the game. The National Football Post. Twitter.com/MattBowen41. Matt Bowen with Mully and Hanley on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hanley on The Score. Let's get out to the Home Run In Hotline. Home Run In Pizza. Try one on the grill at your next tailgate. And there we find a man that you read in the National Football Post, of course, the Chicago Tribune. He is Matt Bowen. Matt, how are you, bud?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great and really looking forward to a nice weekend of football. Got a chance to watch some of the game last night. Of course, that's a preview of a couple of games the Bears are going to play, and I'd say they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, there's some good things and bad things about Oakland and San Diego. I think Carson Palmer played really well last night at times. And you could see, if you watch the Raiders, they have a ton of speed outside the numbers. I mean, that's what they do. That's what Al Davis did in his time at Oakland, is draft and scout guys that can run. They're physical up front. But both of those teams have holes in defense, some big holes they have to worry about.
You know, looking at the Bears, you write about it at nfpost.com and talk about some of Mike Martz's play calling. And we were talking about earlier in the show, Matt, about the comfort level it seems that both he and Jay have kind of settled into in the entire offense. But can you explain the play you break down here on the NF Post? Because we've seen it throughout the season where he gets the receivers in a bunch and tries to get one of them to release freely.
Well, what Mike did in that touchdown, that first drive to Matt Spaeth, was throw some window dressing out there. That's called a spot route. When a spot route is everyone has it in their playbook. It's a corner route, a flat route, and a curl route out of a bunch. Well, what Mike does and why he's a very good play caller and why he's smart on offense is he brings in big personnel. He's got his big guys on the field. So if you're a defensive player, you look at that and say, okay, they got their big personnel. They're going to run the ball. All of a sudden, and they break the huddle. Matt Forte goes out as a wide receiver. You got two tight ends and Roy Williams in a bunch. And when that stuff happens, all that little time, you're, as a defensive player, say, okay, what's coming? I don't know what's coming now. You're prepared for something in the huddle, and then you come out, and Matt Spaeth is wide open because Philadelphia didn't know how to defend it. They weren't prepared for that play just because of the pre-snap alignment. It was a smart play by Mike.
Yeah, you know, there have been a lot of that stuff. I mean, it seems to me, Matt, there's a couple of elements here. The coaching element, we talked about it a little earlier in the show, has been very impressive. And when you talk about the offense in particular, Cutler's mechanics are so much better than they were a year ago. I'm not saying that he's perfect. He's still a long way off. But his footwork, you know, Martz raved about that, and we heard all the talk about that to start the season. When you give that guy time and he keeps his mechanics together, boy, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I agree. You can tell he looks more comfortable throwing the football. And like you said, Mike, he could still get away with some stuff because of his arm strength. He could still throw the ball off balance at times. But go back to Monday night and some of the stuff that Mike did. What about the sprint game where they rolled Jay out of the pocket? It doesn't look like much, but if you're a Bears fan, you didn't see a lot of that earlier in the season. You didn't. It was always a 5- and 7-step drop. Now you're getting Jay out of the pocket. That allows Jay to get clear throwing lanes. He looks more comfortable doing that. And the route schemes, hey, I still think the route schemes are going to be pretty similar to what we've seen all year. But when you add a guy like Earl Bennett, and let's be honest, if you hadn't watched the Bears all season, you just turn on the game Monday night, you would assume that was the Bears' number one receiver because Jay looks comfortable when he throws him the football. And that's a big thing for a quarterback.
The first Detroit game, Matt, it seems like that probably, given the fact you're on the road in an enclosed dome and all that, but yeah, 9 false start penalties. Obviously, a lot of it was due to the noise in the place, but that offensive line was still trying to figure out what it was all about. Are we past those days? Would you be shocked to see any kind of major fallback from this offensive line, given the way it's played in the last three weeks or so?
Yeah, I would be shocked because you Monday night they physically whipped Philadelphia up front. And I'll tell you what, watching Lance Lewis was fun. It was fun to watch him. I mean, he buried guys. He buried Jason Babbitt. He buried him through the play. And sometimes you want that. One of the, when I think of offensive linemen, I play with John Jansen in Washington. And off the field, John is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. But when he's on the field, he's a nasty guy now. He's nasty. He buries people. He puts them on the ground. He holds them down there and tells them, hey, I'm going to do it again the next play. And that's what I saw from Lance Lewis against, you know, that supposed speed from Philadelphia. And that's that wide nine. The Bears are going to see the wide nine again this Monday night, on this Sunday. And they handled it. I was very impressed.
You know, I got to say to you, when you ask about the offensive line, Brian asked that question, 2 points. The first, I don't expect to see that breakdown because I don't expect them to try to do what they were doing earlier in the year. And I know that as the game goes on and as they build confidence, they kind of did allow guys more single coverage and stuff like that. But they're not there yet. And as long as they maintain an idea of what their identity is and protect those guys a little bit and get rid of the
overreach.
Ball a little quick, they're going to be just fine this year with that offensive line.
Yeah, if you have to use six-man protection and you tell Forte, look, chip on Kyle Vannebach and get out into the route. Just something simple, like you said, Mike, just something simple. You don't have to go max protect, and sometimes the Bears can do that when they want to take a deep shot, but if they want to run the regular route system, hey, Matt, you're going to chip on Vannebach's play, give our guy a little help, then get out in the route. Just simple little things. But I agree with you. They are playing better football. They look more physical, and I think that's the biggest thing. They look solid up front.
Yeah, and Matt, hold on 1 second. We're going to get a scoreboard update, but there's not a chance. They were physical. They beat up that finesse team, and Matt, we had talked about it on Monday. We'll ask about the finesse. Well, it's a finesse offense for Detroit, not the defense, and how do you change what you're doing? Let's get to Mark Grody with a scoreboard update. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Let's get back to Matt Bowen, our man from the Chicago Tribune and the National Football Post, and, of course, the score as well. And, Matt, we talked about it on Monday, that the way the Bears could win that game was kind of by beating that team up. And you saw them come out, and they gave Philadelphia that Wilson enema that Greg Blash used to talk about. And they beat them up. And you can do that against Detroit, maybe the Bears' defense against the offense. You can go after them and kind of knock them around a little bit. Their offensive line wasn't playing very well when they went into the break. But that defense, especially that front, is going to be tough to just batter and beat up and knock around a little bit.
No, they will. But people have run the ball against the Lions. I mean, if the Niners did it, the Niners were physical against Detroit. You know, teams like that, you can run the ball against Detroit. I mean, I understand this front four is very good. It's got a lot of name power, too. But there are ways to block them up, and there are ways to be physical. And I agree with what you said for Monday night. At the end of that game, DeSean Jackson did not want to play football anymore. Okay, I don't care how anyone wants to spin that. Those wide receivers from Philly were tired of getting pushed around. They're tired of getting beat up at the line of scrimmage. Jennings and Tillman deserve game balls. Because what Lovie did off defensively last against the Eagles was flip the game plan a lot. They played cover two in what I call situational football. Third and long, some in the red zone, especially in 2 minutes they're going to play cover two. But a lot of times it was cover one. It was zone pressure. They told their corners, beat those guys up the line of scrimmage. That's what they did.
You know, given the fact that Kellen Davis wasn't blocking anyone, Matt, at the beginning of the year, I guess it's progress that Jason Babin is upset that he got crack blocked by Davis, and he's calling Mike Martz chicken bleep.
Yeah, I know. And Jason Babin needs to stop being a sore loser. That happens. I mean, you get crack blocked. Hey, that's part of the game. It's not fun, but there's nothing illegal about it. That's why, you know, the old coach speak, keep your head in the swivel. It's happened to me when I played. Anyone who's played defense in the NFL has gotten blasted on a crack block. And, hey, that was part of it. But that was the type of football the Bears played on Monday.
You know, it's funny because I saw a block like that in one of the college games. And, I struggle to figure out the rules of the college game sometimes because I get to go and listen to the officials explain to you each year exactly what the NFL rules are and how they've changed. And obviously it doesn't change in college. And I'll be watching some play and I'll be like, wow, right there, you know, that's the Hines Ward rule. You know, you can't do that, but you can do it in college.
Yeah, in college football, you get away with a lot.
Oh, it's incredible.
Well, I
can't get fined either.
No.
I saw a play last night on the in the San Diego-Oakland game, and I wasn't aware of this rule. Fake punt, punter throws the ball downfield to about the goal line,
and
the defender just basically, you know, tackles the would-be receiver, and, you know, it looks like just blatant pass interference, and you know, your guy Hockley says there's, by rule, on a punt formation, there's no pass interference.
Right, and the reason they do that is because they're called the jammers, the guys that block the gunners. How are they supposed to know it's a pass? They have to be physical and try to beat up those guys.
Well, he beat them up.
Yeah, yeah. So I guarantee now, if there's ever someone hears the word fake and they're playing that position, they're just going to tackle the guy. That's the problem the NFL is going to run into now.
Let me ask you this, Matt. I was talking to a guy that works in the NFC North, and he was saying that he asked me a question. He said, hey, did Tobe know that kid couldn't throw? And I'm like, what? And he said that it looked on tape that the rookie, they left the guy so wide open that it was almost like they were goading him to throw. And I'm like, well, listen, I think Tobe's brilliant, but there was no way you would leave anybody that open. I don't care who is
counting
the punter.
On the fact that guy was going to short
exactly.
the pass by 5 yards.
Yeah, that was madness.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I played for Bobby April in two different stops. The Eagles special teams coach.
Yeah.
He's an excellent coach, too. And that's kind of like a check with me. When they look out there and the gunners are in cover, the punter's just going to throw it out there, almost
right.
like an audible. But, yeah, that, I mean, the Bears kind of dodge a bullet there because he catches that ball.
Oh, he can walk in.
If you give him a, get a little air under that ball, he could, yeah.
Yeah, just,
you
know, I'll be
first
over
of all, you got the first down and you hit pocket. Yeah. But,
oh, there was no air.
Punt returners don't tackle.
And that was one of the most embarrassing throws. As a former quarterback, he must have cringed more than
most
of us.
That was like a shot put.
Yeah, it was, looked like he was nervous. It looked like he couldn't believe that they left him that wide open. And
yeah,
that was a big play. But, you know, you still go back to the game. That's what I'm interested about, to see how Lovey and Coach Marinelli prepare this defense, X's and O's wise, for the Lions. Because if you want to do that man-to-man coverage and like they did against Philly, that's fine. But then now you have to throw Calvin Johnson into the mix. You know, how are they going to play more cover two? They
yes.
might see some more cover two this week.
Well, you don't let that guy beat you. I mean, you know, if you have to get beat by one of the tight ends, I understand that. But you do not let that guy beat you when you know that he's the guy that can beat you. So you
right.
got a game plan to take him out in double cover and do whatever you have to do. Move Peanut around the field, stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll do all those things. Maybe hit him a little bit. I mean, that was, you know, don't give him the free release. That's something that they did the first time out, and it
right.
burned him.
Yeah, you have to, and the safeties have to play deep. And, you know, if I'm coaching the DBs this week, I'm going to tell them, look, if he catches a deep square in, you know, make the tackle, go to the next play. All right, they're not going to throw it every single time.
Right.
But you can't give up the double move. They got Chris Harris beat that last Monday night. You can't give up those type of plays in a big-time game. That gets you beat. So you have to keep a top on the defense. Like you said, Mike, try to beat them up at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you have to do that. And then focus on Detroit's not going to be able to run the ball in Chicago. I don't think they will be able to. I really don't.
Who did you pick?
I picked the Bears. I think
yeah.
it's going to be a close game. I mean, it's a divisional game. These guys know each other very well. There's not going to be a lot of new schemes. It's going to be, you know, good football against personnel, you know. But I like the Bears close.
I do too. And the only one of the reasons is because they hopefully will not be jumping off sides nine times, which means, you know, think about how good Cutler played in that game. They lost that game by 11, but it could have been a closer game. They were off schedule the entire game.
Yeah.
So hopefully they won't be off schedule, and maybe that.
Well, the problem was the Lions didn't play particularly well early in that game either. So
right.
And they were winning at halftime. You know,
yeah.
The Bears are up at halftime,
yeah.
So that's a game they could have won.
All right, Matt. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, guys.